Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Vermont native Sam Amadon has won critical acclaim and an energetic following in the indie world for his ability to reinvent songs on guitar, banjo, and fiddle. Sam will perform this Sunday at Mass Mocha's weekend-long Fresh Grass Festival, and Lilio, a new album of reimagined folk songs, will be released on Nonesuch on September 30th. He joins us now at the Linda. We are very excited to have him. Sam, welcome back to the Roundtable.
Thank you for having me back.
So tell us about, if you can, if you have that sort of artisty message about the new album. Tell us about Lilio.
Well, it's like my last few records. It's a collection of reworked, changed around, collaged, messed with folk songs. And on this one, I had an amazing musician named Bill Frisell playing guitar. He's one of my heroes since I was a kid, as part of a band. And I brought him and my bass player and drummer to Iceland and basically put the album down mostly live.
Why Iceland?
Well, I've had a wonderful little connection to there, to a little recording studio in the suburbs of Reykjavik, where I recorded two of my albums before this. And it's good to get people, you know, away from home so they're not just popping out at 7 p.m. because they agreed to something. Or, you know, that you live in the studio, you eat there, sleep in the studio. And Iceland is like a very weirdly empty kind of place because you're sort of like you feel like you're in Vermont, but you're on the moon, like a little town on the moon. And it's a very kind of empty and quiet place to bring your music. It's like the air is clear there and you just sort of good place to put it down.
And was it easy or other to convince your band to go with you to Iceland and hang out for a while?
No, they were all excited to come check it out.
Good. And how does, when you work with Bill and with the other guys in your band, how do the orchestrations come about? Do you write them or do you guys work together to make the full sound of the songs?
Well, for all of my albums, there's like two parts of the music making process. First, I do the kind of basic structural reworking of the song alone beforehand, you know, at home. That's like the writing process. And I guess that's the equivalent of writing the song, except I'm not actually writing any of the words or many of the melodies.
Right.
Some of the melodies, but mainly not. So it's just like, you know, the guitar part, the kind of riffs and the loops and the things that happen in the guitar that make the harmonies happen. So that's like the piece in a way, and with the singing on top. So I bring that pretty much done to the studio. And on the last few records, what I've done is come in and done a combination of live recording and then having lots of, like, I've on a couple albums I had Nico Muley doing orchestrations and stuff. On this one, I did something I'd never done really before, which is that we came in, I had my songs prepared, but Chris Vadalaro, Shazada Smiley, and Frisell, none of them had heard any of the songs. You know, I didn't send them any demo or anything. And we just had a very simple structure of, I would teach them the song, they would kind of make some notes about what I'm doing, and then we'd sit down and we'd play for a minute, and they would all just sort of come up with something, maybe with a little bit of feedback from me or not. And then we did two or three takes and moved on. And none of them had played together. We hadn't played as a quartet before, but I've played by now with each one of them individually a lot. You know, Shazad for 10 years, Chris for 6, and Bill for like 4. So we had all this shared connection through me in that way. And it was beautiful. It's really fun.
And what made you decide to do it that way?
Just because I love listening to jazz, and what I love about and a lot of, you know, traditional, I grew up playing fiddle tunes and listening to albums of traditional Irish fiddle music, which are really like that kind of vibe of dudes in the 70s just going into a room playing tunes for an hour and seeing, you know, and the jazz, a lot of those classic records are the same way. And I'm not a jazz musician at all, but when I listen to those jazz records, what I love about that is hearing, you know, it's like a social thing. Like there's this amazing Sonny Rollins Coleman Hawkins album where like Coleman Hawkins plays a solo and then Sonny's solo is like a weird parody of Coleman Hawkins, and you're just like, did they talk about that before? You know, it's sort of kind of odd. You sort of feel uncomfortable in the room, like, is the bass player like going, what's going on now? And so I just love being able to hear like that social quality of like people responding to each other and responding to the moment. And I have no idea whether that came through, but that was you know, it was fun to, I wanted to, you know, it's like playing tunes, you know, playing with people. And it was something just like a nice thing to do. And it just worked out that way. I think I was thinking beforehand that we might do more stuff afterwards, but just in the moment, it by almost just by accident, it felt so good to play that that's what we did.
And then you knew in that recording moment that that was what you wanted to put out.
Yeah, as soon as that was happening, I was like, oh, this feels good. I mean, some albums are really tortured and they take a long time and you kind of go through all kinds of, and other ones, just flow, and that doesn't necessarily correspond to which ones turn out good. You know, sometimes you can slog through it and just feel completely terrible about it at the end, and then a couple of years later you go back, oh no, that's all right. But sometimes they just flow. This is one that just flowed.
You're going to play a few songs for us today. What is the first song you're going to share?
I'll do a song called Walkin' Boss. He says, son, what can you do? I can holla jack a lot of track, a lot of track. I can pick and shovel too. Worked one day, worked one day. Worked one day, and I think Shanny too. Walking boss, walking boss, walking boss. Well, I don't belong to you. I belong, I belong, I belong to the steel driving crew. Walking boss, walking boss, walking boss. Well, I don't belong to you. I belong to the steel driving crew.
Walkin' Boss by Sam Amidon, performed by Sam Amidon. He will be at the Freshgrass Festival at Massmoka this weekend, performing on Sunday. The festival runs Friday night through Sunday. And Walkin' Boss can be found on Lilio, which is a new album by Sam, which will be released on Nonesuch on September 30th. When you play the songs solo again after recording them with everybody, is that cool?
It can feel weird at first, but they sort of existed that way initially. So.
And you're touring in support of the album. Are the guys going out with you?
On Sunday at the Freshgrass, I'm going to have my friend Thomas Bartlett, who didn't play on this record but has done many things with me over the years, amazing musician. And then in October, I will have some dates with the full ensemble. And then I do different combinations of things when I tour.
And how do you choose the songs that you're going to put your treatment on, rework for you, and then are there a number of them going before you know which ones will end up on a record?
It's pretty haphazard. I'm not somebody with like an encyclopedic knowledge of folk songs. I mean, I'm sort of, in some ways I'm coming from as an insider in the sense of growing up around here in the Northeast and you know, hearing a lot of folk music growing up. But I was really more into fiddle tunes and so then it was sort of more as a listener, but also just stuff I have in the background of my mind, like songs I know my parents sang or things on field recordings by musicians that I love. So I'm kind of in it as a fan and also as somebody who did it over the years. But I'm not like a folk singer in the sense of somebody who has like thousands of songs they could sing for hours and ballads. And I don't know that many. And so it tends to more be like the guitar often comes first. Like I'll come up with like a guitar part or a melody or something, and I'll have that going for a while. And as I'm singing, it's pretty personal. Like just some song that's been in my head might pop in there. Sometimes I'll try a few, but usually just one just kind of pops in, and it's and then I have to go figure out what the words are. Like it's not necessarily I have to go look up, listen to the. It's not like something I know well enough, but I have the melody enough that I can hum it, and it kind of goes from there. So it's kind of random, but it's very personal. It's usually songs that I have some personal connection to.
You grew up playing the fiddle, like you've said. When did you begin playing guitar and banjo?
Well, banjo is an instrument that you don't really practice so much as just you have one nearby.
Okay.
And there was one near the couch in high school because my parents both play banjo.
Mm-hmm.
The process of having the banjo nearby started around age 15, and I was playing a lot by the time I got to college. And then guitar really was about 10 or 11 years ago. Then I kind of had this idea that I should like, because I was listening to all kinds of indie rock music and jazz and free jazz. I felt like I didn't want to play those on the violin because it didn't really suit the music.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like I should like learn guitar so that I could play like an electric guitar in a rock band or become a singer songwriter or something. Neither of which happened at all.
Sorry, you had
so
options.
I kind of started learning guitar like because I felt like I should to do that. And then by way of learning guitar, I started learning folk songs and things. And then that led, I kind of got stuck at that point. I just enjoyed doing that. I've sort of stuck with that.
And do you have in your personal collection like one fiddle, one banjo, one guitar? Or do you have a lot of different instruments?
I have one fiddle. I should get another one though, because I should get just like a cheap one that I can travel with more easily, because this one I have to carry in a nice case. And I left it on a train once when I was 18, and that was a little bit, I got it
that's
back.
The, yeah, that's scary. The nightmare.
And the banjo, I have one. This was a high school graduation present. And then the guitar, I only have one of each. I think I have a second guitar.
What is the next song you're going to share?
I'll do a song called Blue Mountains.
Great.
He gone They left before daybreak on a dapple and a row, past tall shivering pines where the mockingbirds grow. Past our cabin windows where eyes never see, across the blue mountains to the Alleghenies. Da, 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 da. Da, 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 da.
You're listening to The Round Table. Sam Amadon is with us at the Linda in Albany, New York. He'll perform this Sunday at Massmocha's weekend-long Fresh Grass Festival, and Lily O will be released. It's a new album released on Nonesuch on September 30th. You've recently worked with contemporary classical vocal ensemble Room Full of Teeth on a composition. How did that come about, and what does that kind of work add to your career and experience and creative life?
It was very fun and scary because the idea of writing a piece for voices and other people's voices was very bizarre. Like, I never think of myself as a composer. I just play stuff, and then that's what it sounds like when I do it. So I'll go do it for other people. But the idea of like writing something that would still have some meaning sung by other voices was very strange and difficult, but good exercise. The Room Full of Teeth are an amazing group. They do all this very intense, interesting new music. Almost all commissioned for them, and they do a residency at Massmocha. So they asked me to write a piece. I don't quite know how that, they just called me and asked me, and I said yes. And we talked for a while about stuff. We had some different connections because I had sung some choral music growing up in the folk scene in New England. But they're very open. I would have been too scared to do it because I'm not like a composer who would write, you know, a bunch of parts out on paper and this is what you play. Mm-hmm. But I know that they have a very collaborative nature. They work with Tune Yards, and Meryl Garb was from Tune Yards before, and stuff like that. People who are not, you know, coming from like a composer background. So I showed up and I had some sketches and some stuff written down, and we had bounced around some ideas, and I gave them some stuff by ear, and it was fun. It came together. They're going to do it again in October at Lincoln Center.
Oh, Lincoln Center. Lincoln Center. Massmocha to Lincoln Center. Two great venues.
Yes.
What would you like to share next?
I could do a song called Your Lone Journey, which is by Rosa Lee Watson. And some of the songs, like the last one I did, is very much like a kind of collage creation. Like I wrote the part and then I took the melody from one place and took the words. This one is a pretty more kind of, I changed a couple of chords, but this is sort of a tribute to their version as well. God's given us years of happiness here, now we must part. And as the angels come and call for you, the pains of grief tug at. Oh, my darling, my darling, my heart breaks as you take your lone journey. Oh, my darling, my darling, my heart breaks as you take your lone journey.
The days will be empty, the nights so long without you, my love. And as God calls for you, I'm left alone. But we will meet in heaven above. Oh, my darling, my darling, my heart breaks as you take your long journey. Fond memories of dear and happy ways that on earth we trod. And when you come, we will walk hand in hand as one in heaven in the family of God. Oh, my darling, as you take your long journey. Oh, my darling, my darling, my heart breaks as you take your long journey.
It's heartbreaking. No, it's beautiful. You mentioned that you grew up around folk music. Your parents are musicians. You might have departed folk music or traditional music to become a rock musician, but you've always been a musician. You've always played music. Was there ever a chance you would do anything else?
I think I was going to be a professional basketball player.
We all were.
And still a possibility.
Of course.
And a sumo wrestler, I think, around age 7. And but no, not seriously. I think it was always pretty inevitable. It wasn't until I was like 15 or 16 that I kind of consciously decided to do it. But it was already inevitable.
Sam Amadon will perform at Mass Mocha's Fresh Grass Festival this Sunday. The festival runs Friday through Sunday. More information is available at freshgrass.com. Sam's new record, Lily O, will come out on Nonesuch on September 30th. It's available for pre-order now at samamadon.com. I wanted to hear some more songs, but I talked to you too much. So I just thank you so much for being here. It's been wonderful.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.